Okay, Shalom Aleichem, everyone. Welcome back. It's nice to see everyone here again. It seems like in a certain way the time went by very quickly over the summer. It's been several months, but hopefully everyone is back raring to go. I know I am. So Be'ez Hashem should be a year of Hatzlachem. We should be zochet to learn a great deal together. The topic of today's shiur is connected to Parshas Bereishis for one reason that's obvious and one reason that isn't. I'd like to speak about the mitzvah of Hadlokas Ner Shabbos, of lighting Shabbos candles, and particularly man's involvement in that. The immediate connection to the Parsha is the fact that the Torah speaks about Shabbos in yesterday's Parsha, at the beginning of Bereishis, that Vaychal Kim Be'yom HaShvi'i Melachto Asherosa, and so forth. And therefore, we have the first mention of Shabbos in the Torah in the Parashas Bereishis. So I figured that would be a good license to speak on this topic. The other reason we will get to soon. The inyan of Hadlokas Neiros of Shabbos, you know, when we think of Shabbos, so we know that we think generally in terms of mitzvahs los asei. Shabbos conjures up a lot of things that you're not allowed to do, right? A person, we speak about a shomer Shabbos, a person who is careful to observe Shabbos properly, which means that he stays away from doing malacha, he does not do it, violate any of the 39 biblical laws, and doesn't violate any of the rabbinic laws, and so forth. But there are also positive mitzvahs that have to do with Shabbos. In the Torah itself, there is only the mention of one mitzvah, and that is the Neseres HaDibros, begins with the mitzvah of Shabbos in Parshas Yisro, begins with the word Zochar es Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho, that you should remember Shabbos. Now, we know that later on in Ve'es Chanon, it says Shomar es Yom HaShabbos, that you should observe Shabbos, and the Chazal tell us, it's well known that these two words were said in Har Sinai together. That's something which is physically impossible to do, but the words came out together, Shamar and Zohar. And we say this in L'chad Dodi, right? We say Shamar v'Zohar b'dibur echad. It really should be reversed. It should be Zohar v'Shamar in the order of the Torah. But because the author of the L'chad Dodi was trying to put his initials into the poem, as was the practice amongst the Paitonim, so therefore, the attitude was that it should be done Shomer v'Zocher, because his name was Shlomo Halevi Alkavitz, so he put in Shomer v'Zocher. But whatever the case may be, these two psukim are the reference to the two aspects of Shabbos. So Shomer is what's well known to us, all the things you're not allowed to do. According to the Torah, Zocher is Yom HaShabbos, refers to the mitzvah of making Kiddush, that Shabbos should be remembered. That's the consensus of the poskim. There are other views as well. Some say that the fact that we mention Shabbos even during the week, we just in davening said Hayom Yom Rishon Shabbos, right? That today is the first day towards Shabbos. Some say that that is a fulfillment of remembering Shabbos during the week. That is the mitzvah of Zochar as Yom HaShabbos from the Torah. However, we find in the Nevi'im also in the Navi Yeshaya. So there is a section which is actually read in the Haftarah on Yom Kippur, in Toshiv Mishabbos Raglecha, Asos Chafetzecha B'Yom Kodshi, right, that the Navi speaks about the mitzvah of Shabbos, and it says there, V'karoso L'Shabbos Oneg, that you should proclaim Shabbos, that it should be Oneg, it should be a day of delight, L'Kdosh Hashem Mechubad, and so forth. So from this pasuk, the Chazal derive that there are two aspects of Shabbos in the positive sense, other than what the Torah spoke about. The Torah spoke about the specific mitzvah of proclaiming Shabbos when it begins, Kiddush. Okay, but the Rabbanon, actually this is higher than a mitzvah the Rabbanon, because it comes from the Navi, so it's considered in the Halacha Midivrei Sofrim, it's a higher status. And thus we have the mitzvahs of Kavod Shabbos and Oneg Shabbos. Now, if I would ask, what do these mitzvahs entail? So Oneg Shabbos, we all can understand, everybody relates, Oneg Shabbos is to enjoy Shabbos, you have nice food and so forth. Okay, different enjoyment on Shabbos. Kavod of Shabbos entails other aspects. Kavod of Shabbos entails, for example, getting dressed in nice clothing for Shabbos, a person bathing for Shabbos, and so forth. Those are things that are done in honor of Shabbos. In other words, it's not, you don't enjoy that on Shabbos per se. The fact that a person bathes before Shabbos, you know, okay, so maybe he feels clean when Shabbos begins. But the, you know, theoretically, if you took a shower 2 hours before Shabbos and you had in mind that you're doing this for Shabbos, you would fulfill the requirement of covet Shabbos. So the covet Shabbos is not, we'll soon see, is not so much for Shabbos, on Shabbos itself, but it's in honor of Shabbos. Whereas the onik Shabbos on Shabbos itself. Now, we have, in addition, the well-known mitzvah of hadlokas neiros Shabbos, of lighting the Shabbos candles. Now, it does, even though that probably, arguably, the most famous, well-known, universally well-known ceremony connected to Shabbos, more so probably than even Kiddush, women lighting candles. The question is, where does this come from? Where does this come from? Why is this done? So, there is no pasuk in the Torah that says you should light Shabbos candles, and nor does it say in the Navi. So where does this come from? So the basis for it is we find the Gemara in Masechah Shabbos is not on the sheet, but the Gemara tells us in Masechah Shabbos that the Hadlokas on the Tafchafei on the Beis, the Gemara tells us that lighting candles for Shabbos is an obligation. It is a chova. It is an obligation that a person has to do, meaning that it's not the type of thing that if you want to, you can, and if not, not. I know there is some mitzvahs that we have that are the types of things that if you want to do it, so fine. If you don't want to do it, you don't have to. You don't have to do it necessarily. There are certain mitzvahs that are like that, that are considered a rishus. Okay, but the mitzvah of hadlokas neiros is considered a chiyuv. And the Gemara here tells us, the Gemara bases it on a pasuk, but basically what we have here in the Gemara is the Amar Rav Nachman bar Avzavda, Hadlokas Ner B'Shabbos Chova, that it's an obligation. Why is it an obligation? So Rashi says on the Gemara that Kovet Shabbosu, that this is an honor of Shabbos, She'ein Suda Chashuva Ela B'Makom Or, Ke'ein Yimama. Because Rashi quotes the Gemara Maseches Yuma, which says that a Suda, that a meal, is really most appropriate when it's eaten in light. And people like you. You enjoy the meal better when it's light. You see what you're eating. There's a certain enjoyment to that, and so forth. The Gemara in Maseches Yuma tells us that the mon, one of the Torah says that the mon presented a certain problem, a certain challenge to the Klal Yisrael, a certain degree of suffering, because it tasted like whatever you wanted it to taste like, but it appeared like nothing. It just had a very simple appearance. So we all know that a person eats a steak. So part of the enjoyment is seeing the steak. If you ever attempted to eat a steak in the pitch black, you shut all the lights, so it would still taste the same, but it's not the same enjoyment. The part of the enjoyment is just the way it is. The part of the enjoyment is you see what you're eating. Okay, the mon, the Gemara says that this was one of the challenges of the mon. So anyway, the point is, the Rashi says that the inyan of having Shabbos candles is so that when you eat the meal, when you eat the meal, this should be in a nice setting, and you should enjoy it better. That seems to be Rashi's pshat. Okay. Further on the Gemara mentions, and it's also earlier in the Perek Bamem Adlikin, the Gemara says that the inyan of lighting Shabbos candles is because of shalom bayis. It's in order that there should be shalom bayis, that there should be peace and harmony in the house. What do lighting candles have to do with peace and harmony in the house? So Mefarshim explained that that's because if the person did not have light in his house, he would trip, he would fall. So therefore, it could be that in itself disturbs the peace, or it could be that when that happens, that puts a person under certain stress, and therefore he gets more easily agitated when other things happen, and it's much more easily gets into something, could get into an argument with his wife. It's unclear exactly, but this is what the Gemara says. So there are different things that are put forth for the idea of hadlokas neiros. The Rambam here says, we have it on the sheet. The Rambam says in the fifth parak of Hilchas Shabbos, so the Rambam says that hadlokas neiros b'Shabbos ain't a rishus, that the lighting of the Shabbos candles is not a rishus, as we mentioned earlier, right? There are other, for example, an example of a mitzvah that is optional would be, for example, according to some poskim, eating matzah on Pesach other than at the Seder, right? So we know, obviously, you're not allowed to eat chametz on Pesach, that there's no question, that the Torah says. But do you have to eat matzah, or can you just eat the things which aren't chametz? So on the first two nights of Pesach, or in Eretz Yisrael on the first night of Pesach, so there's a mitzvah, a specific mitzvah to eat matzah. But on the rest of Pesach, so then really, you know, a person does not have to necessarily eat matzah if he doesn't want to. Okay, you have the Shabbos meals and the Yontif meals, but let's say Chol Hamoed of Pesach, but just to make life simple. Chol Hamoed of Pesach, so a person does not have to eat matzah. You could go the whole, all the days of Chol Hamoed just eating some other foods. Okay, but according to the Vilna Gaon, a person fulfills a mitzvah of achilas matzah if he does eat matzah on the rest of Pesach. So that would be an example of a mitzvah. There aren't many like this, but that would be an example of a mitzvah that if you want to do it, fine, and if you don't want to do it, it's also fine. But says the Rambam, and he's referring to the Gemara that we just mentioned, that when it comes to the Shabbos candles, there is no question that it's an obligation. So we'll skip a little bit here. He says that this is a mitzvah that a person is obligated to chase after, that a person has to do whatever he can in order to fulfill this mitzvah, and even if it means he has to borrow money and so forth. Okay, and the Rambam says, if you go down several lines, he says, "Afilu ein lo ma yochal," even if the person does not have what to eat, "shola apsochim v'lokeach shemen u'madlikas haner," he has to even borrow money or go, ask people to help him out to have candles for Shabbos. Says the Rambam, "Shezeh bichlau onik Shabbos," because this is included in the mitzvah of oneg Shabbos. Oneg Shabbos, says the Rambam. Yeah, so Rashi said kavod Shabbos. The Rambam here says it's oneg Shabbos. Okay, now what's interesting is that later on in the 30th parak of Hilchos Shabbos, the Rambam seems in a certain way to contradict himself, at least at first glance it seems that way. Because the Rambam says it's to the left, Rambam Perek Lamed. So he says, "Misader Adam Shulchano be'erev Shabbos," that a person should set his table on Erev Shabbos, which, by the way, is an example of Kavod Shabbos. In other words, Kavod Shabbos means that the Shabbos table should be set in advance. Person, theoretically, you'll say, well, when I come home from shul, we'll set the table. But that's not really the right thing. The right thing is, in honor of Shabbos, it should all be set up in advance. So he says, "Va'afal pi she'enu tzarech al kazayis," and even if a person not having an elaborate meal, he should still set up his house, because that's, we'll see in a minute. He says, "V'chein misada shulchanu b'motzai Shabbos," he says, so too, a person, this is not so commonly practiced, that a person should do the same thing on motzai Shabbos, "Va'afal pi she'enu tzarech al kazayis," right, that we have a concept of malava malka, that a person should escort Shabbos on its way out. But he says here, yeah, that person should also make his table nice and honor, shouldn't just eat malava malka on the run, shouldn't just sit down somewhere in the corner of his house and grab a slice of pizza or something like that, but he should set his table for this. This is what he says. "Kidei l'chabdo," says the Rambam, "in order to honor it, b'knisaso v'tziyaso," in order to honor Shabbos when it comes in and when it goes out. "V'tzarech l'saken beiso mibod yom," says the Rambam, that a person has to arrange his house while it is still day on Friday, mipnei kovet Shabbos, for the honor of Shabbos, v'yiyeh ner dolok, and it should be a candle lit, v'shulchan aruch, and a set table, u'mita matzas, and the bed should be made, in other parts of the house, shekol elu l'chvod Shabbos hain." Okay, so the Rambam here tells us a halacha which we know but don't always appreciate. In other words, in honor of Shabbos, a house should be arranged. It's not just a question of, well, we have to sit down at the table and have a meal, so mimeila we have to clear off the table. It's more than that. The whole house should be the honor of Shabbos, even in a different room. It could be in the olden times, people had houses where the beds were within sight of the house, of the table, could be. But nevertheless, the idea is that even in a different room, the house should be set up for Shabbos. That's part of the honor of Shabbos, that everything is set up and appropriate, even the other rooms, to the best of a person's ability. But anyway, what I want to bring out here from this Rambam is that he says that the inyan of having the ner dolok, of having the candles lit, is kavod Shabbos, which seems a bit odd, because earlier in the other paragraph he said that it's considered oneg Shabbos. So now, you'll say, well, what difference does it make? It doesn't really matter. It's okay, whatever reason you do it, it's kavod Shabbos, oneg Shabbos, doesn't matter. So the reason why it so first of all, the fact of the matter is that I think the simplest interpretation of the Rambam is that it's really both. In other words, it has two aspects. There's an aspect of Kavod Shabbos and there's an aspect of Onik Shabbos. In other words, and the way the Poskim understand it, the consensus of the Poskim seems to be that the Onik Shabbos is that it makes Shabbos more enjoyable. Makes Shabbos more enjoyable, that pertains to things of Onik. So therefore, that's why the primary mitzvah, which we'll see, the primary mitzvah of lighting Shabbos candles in the place where you eat. Because in the place where you eat, you're actually fulfilling both. You're lighting the candles, you're honoring Shabbos by lighting the candles, and you also have the fact that the candles are contributing to the light of the room so that you're able to see better. You could enjoy what you're eating. So therefore, you have both aspects when you light the candles in the place that you eat. And in fact, that is why we have the practice that we say the bracha on the candles that you light in the place that you eat. Okay? This also would explain a basic question which no one thinks about, but the Aruch HaShulchan asks a very simple question, that how come you say a bracha on the lighting of the Shabbos candles, you don't say a bracha for Onik Shabbos, right? If a person sits down Friday night and has a delicious meal, or let's say he even then has, after the meal is over, in honor of Shabbos, he has a special dessert, or a special Viennese table, whatever it may be, that he brings out in honor of Shabbos, and all kinds of delicacies. So we don't find that a person says, Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, Shekech Shemesh, Sosef Tzivonu, Al Onik Shabbos. We don't say that. Right? We don't say that bracha. Yet, when it comes to the lighting Shabbos candles, you say a bracha. Why should that be? It's an odd thing. In other words, this is Onik Shabbos, that's Onik Shabbos. So the Aruch HaShulchan says, and he says he believes that the answer to that question is not clear, but he says he thinks that, so the simplest explanation is because this is a special Takanas Chachamim. In other words, whether you want to have seven-layer cake on Shabbos in honor of Shabbos or not, that's up to you. But this is not something that's optional. This is something that the Chachamim instituted as a Takana, so therefore we say a bracha on this. That would be the simplest pshat. But the Aruch HaShulchan adds that it also the Hadlokas Ner Shabbos encompasses not just Onik Shabbos but also Kavod Shabbos. It's two things. So because it's two things together, so therefore for that already, in other words, to have a nice piece of cake, that's just Onik Shabbos. That's not Kavod Shabbos, right? But to have the light in the room, so you're honoring Shabbos by lighting candles in its honor. And in addition to that, you also have the fact that that enhances the owning. So says the Aruch HaShulchan. Now, it should be pointed out that the Aruch HaShulchan himself mentions this, that he quotes from the Vilna Gaon, that he said, the Gaon said that the basic difference that we find between Kavod Shabbos and Onik Shabbos is that things that are done for Kavod Shabbos are done in advance. They're done in advance of Shabbos. Whereas things that are done for Onik Shabbos are done on Shabbos itself. In other words, for example, arranging the house is done before Shabbos. Setting the table is done before Shabbos. Those are things for Kavod Shabbos. Now, lighting Shabbos candles are also, you'll say, well, of course you have to do it before Shabbos. You can't light a candle on Shabbos. But that's not the only reason that we light the candles before Shabbos. We light the candles before Shabbos because since lighting Shabbos candles has the aspect of Kavod Shabbos, so therefore things that are done due to Kavod are done in advance. Whereas the actual enjoyment of Shabbos, Onik Shabbos, that is done on Shabbos itself. Now, this is relevant in the following case, and this is something which may be a little controversial, but now that Yom Tov is behind us, and Pesach is a way off, so I could say it. Okay, there's a very big question, when do people light the candles on Yom Tov? When do people light candles on Yom Tov? So a lot of time, now Yom Tov is different than Shabbos in the sense that you're allowed to, light a candle on Yom Tov, assuming you had a fire in existence. You can't make a new fire, but you can extend it. So therefore, you could light the Yom Tov candles on Yom Tov. Okay, so a lot of women have the practice that, when it comes to Shabbos, so I have to do it in advance because it's going to be Shabbos. So, I can't light candles on Shabbos. But when it comes to Yom Tov, so already we become a little bit, knockers. I can light on Yom Tov too. Right, then a lot of people have the minhag that they wait, a lot of women have the custom, they wait till the husbands even come home from shul, and then they light the candles. So there's a question what you should do. The truth of the matter is that these two aspects of kavod and oneg apply by Yom Tov too. So therefore, there's a mitzvah of kavod of yontif, which really says that the yontif candles should be lit in advance. They should be lit in advance of yontif. So, for example, on the first night of Sukkot, so they list on the calendars what time is candle lighting, right? So sometimes you wonder about that. What's the difference? What time candle lighting is? I could light candles on yontif, right? So you want to tell me what time I have to stop doing malacha? That's after the time of candle lighting. So what are you telling me the time for candle lighting? The answer is because really you're supposed to light the candles then. That's really the time you're supposed to light the candles. Now it happens to be, you'll say, oh, well, I never heard this before. So it's a widespread minhag that a lot of women don't do this. And if you look in the poskim, they struggle to explain why that should be. In other words, no one's saying that it's a terrible thing because it is the common practice, but the fact is that it's highly questionable why it's the common practice. In other words, why should that be? What's the difference between Shabbos and Yontif in this respect? If you the Vilna Gaon says that the way you honor, the way you give kavod is by being prepared in advance. So you're lighting the candles in advance. You're lighting the candles in advance of Shabbos. You light the candles also in advance of Yontif. That's the way really should be l'chadchila. So like I say, the common practice is a lot of people don't do this, but you should just be aware that it's not so simple that that's a good practice. Yeah, yes. Yeah, okay, so the second day yontif, there's more of a basis than especially, but because it cuts into the first day of yontif, so... But okay, so maybe it's not clear on the second day of Yontif, but certainly on the first day of Yontif. On the going into the first day of Yontif is really the right thing, that a person should do it in advance and on the time that's given on the calendar. I'm saying it's not an Aveira. If you know what I'm saying, I don't think you have to say Al Chayt for that on Yom Kippur, but it, in terms of what's the right thing, that's probably, if you look in the poskim, it's the struggle to explain why it's not done that way. In fact, in one of the earliest commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch was written by, it's actually a commentary on the Torah, but the same person wrote a commentary on Shulchan Aruch, it was a commentary called Drisha and Prisha on the Torah, where he writes there that it's very interesting to see that his mother, he quotes his mother, that his mother used to criticize, I don't know who she was, but he's quoting her halacha, so he must have thought she was a righteous woman. He says that his mother used to tell all the women that they're not doing the right thing by not lighting the candles in advance on Yontif, that they wait until Yontif starts and light the candles. Not right. She really light the candles before Yontif to give honor to Yontif. Okay, yes, I'm sorry. If what? Because we have electric lights, you're saying? I'll get to electric lights in a minute. Okay, fine. All right, but nevertheless, the you're saying it's even more so. That would make it even more so that you should light it in advance.
I'm not talking about the issue of lighting.
Yeah. Okay, so we'll see. Okay, so we'll get. So we'll get to that. We'll get to that in a minute. As far as the modern day electric lights. Okay, well, I don't know. I mean, the standard candles will usually make it, as far as I know. It could be, if that's the Metzias, all right, it could be, I don't know. I think the standard candles, they advertise on the box, not always accurate, but they advertise on the box, I think it burns for 3 hours. I think that's what I just noticed that the other day, that they said somehow nowadays, Niskatnu Hadaris, the 24-hour yardside candles don't make it 24 hours, I noticed. I guess that's due to a weakening in the world. I don't know why exactly that is, but the fact is it could be. All right, so let's see here. There are a lot of different aspects to this inyan of Hadlokas Neiros, but I try to cover some of the basic ones that come up that aren't so simple, and also stick to the topic that we had. So if you look here in the Shulchan Aruch on this first side of the sheet, the Shulchan Aruch says a very basic din. Echad ha'noshim ve'echad ha'noshim chayavos liyas bevateyem ner dolok b'shabbos. So based on the reasons that we have given for why you're supposed to have Shabbos candles, it comes out, and if you think about it, that there really should be no difference between whether there's a man living there or a woman living there or a married couple living there. it's not, it has nothing to do with men or women. This is, everybody has both of these issues. Everybody has the need. Women are obligated in the positive mitzvahs of Shabbos. It's one of the exceptions to the rule of mitzvahs aseh shazman groma, right? So women have a chiyuv in Kiddush and so forth, and the other mitzvahs that are associated, the positive mitzvahs of Shabbos. So therefore, there is no difference. But a man certainly has this obligation, right? So the question then becomes, why is it that women are the ones that light the Shabbos candles? So the Shulchan Aruch says that... if you go down to the next Sif Gimel, so the Shulchan Aruch says, 2 lines from the bottom on the Shulchan Aruch, the top section of that copy. So he says, Hanoshim Muzharos Bo Yoser, he says, women are more primarily connected to the mitzvah of lighting candles. Why? Mipnei Shemitsuyas Bebayas, for Oskos Betarche Habayas. So the Shulchan Aruch says, there's a quote from the Rambam, very practical reason, not an esoteric reason, very practical reason, because the women typically were the ones that were found in the house that were running the household. The man went out to work, and therefore the running of the house was fell into the woman's domain. So therefore, much in the same way that she set up everything else for Shabbos, so since this is an inyan that there should be light on Shabbos, so therefore it became the practice that women took this mitzvah. In other words, they're setting up the house for Shabbos. So the same way they're setting the table and they're cooking the food and they're making the bed. So they also light the candles. Very simple reason, says the Rambam. There is another reason, which is a little more mystical, which is quoted in the Medrash, and Shaburi refers to it, and that is the other connection that we have to Parshas Bereishis, and that is that the Medrash tells us in several places that Chava was however you understand, very difficult situation, the whole story with the Eitz Hadas and what why Adam had one mitzvah and how he didn't keep it properly. But it turned out that Chava played a role in that because she had been tricked into it by the Nachash and so forth. So the Chazal say that Chava, because she enticed Adam to commit this sin, and she participated in it, so Kav Sonero Shalom, the Adam Arishon was not supposed to die initially, but because of the fact that he sinned, so it was decreed upon him that he should not live forever. He lived a very long time, but eventually died. So the Chazal referred to Adam Arishon as Nero Shalom, the light of the world. So Chava contributed to Kavsa, to the extinguishing of the Nero Shel Olam. So therefore, says the Medrash, that as a tikkun for this, as a way of making up for it, so the women took upon themselves to enhance the Ner for Shabbos. This is quoted in the Mishnah Berurah, it's in the Medrash, in several Midrashim, in several places. Okay, it's a difficult Pasha, the whole situation there, but nonetheless, this is what's brought down as well. This is probably the more famous reason that people know. You ask people, girls go to school, this is what they hear, but the that's not the main reason. The main reason is practically, like the Shulchan Aruch says, because the women generally run the household, so they run the household, so you put the lights on also. So you put on the neres. Yes?
Is there any reference to the Midrash that says that when Sarah died, the light went out in the tent, and then when Rivka came, it went back?
Yeah, they don't say that in this connection. That's interesting. They don't say, but that's true too. But they don't say here. The Medrash that's quoted, you have it here in the Mishnah Berurah. He brings it. If you look on the bottom, let's see, where is that? He says on the very last piece of Mishnah Berurah, Yud Beis, right? For old time, ipnei shekavsa neir shalolam shegarma misal adam rishon. Okay. Now, the Mishnah Berurah there, it's cut off on the page, but the Mishnah Berurah says that obviously neither of these reasons are what you would call overwhelming reasons, that would say, well, it's totally the woman's mitzvah, not the man's, right? So it happens to be that because of these reasons, the mitzvah is given to women, and therefore to the extent that the Shulchan Aruch, the Mishnah Berurah brings this in the name of Poskin, that if a husband says, I want to do the mitzvah, I want to light the candles, or at least half the time, right? Today we have equality of the world, right? You have the feminist movement where women want to be equal to men. But here you could have a reverse, right? Let's have a little reverse feminist. All the men will get together and say, what's going on over here? Women dominate this mitzvah. I want to also light Shabbos candles sometimes, right? Shalom Bayis. Okay, so, right, right. That would be a real fulfillment of what the Gemara said, right? So the answer is that the poskim say a man does not have the right to do this. A man does not have the right to do this because it's accepted that this is a mitzvah given to women, and therefore, even if a husband says, I want to do it, the wife has the right to say, it's my mitzvah. Now, if the wife doesn't do it, the man could do it. There's no quote. We'll see in a second. Yes. Yes, thank you. That's what I was about to say. So the Mishnah Berurah here on the end of the page, and it's cut off, it continues on the next page. The Mishnah Berurah says that for this reason, there's a minhag, that the correct minhag, that a man should do something, meaning they should maybe set up the candles in advance, or if you use oil, whatever, should make some sort of preparation to have some role in the mitzvah. However, it's very clear that this is a mitzvah that the Mishnah Berurah here says, Yud Aleph, he says that even if the husband wants to do it, the woman has the right to do so. Okay, what you don't see practiced, Mishnah Berurah says, that if they light more than two candles, so then the truth of the matter is, then the husband could say, I want to light some of them. You know, but you don't ever find this and let it stay that way. But I'm just saying that's the bottom line, yes.
So if the man does have a chiyuv,
yes.
Is he being yotzei by his wife?
Okay, so is he being yotzei? The answer is yes, he's being yotzei, because in the end of the day, there is a great similarity between the mitzvah of Hadlokas Ner Shabbos and Hadlokas Ner Chanukah, which we'll get to, which is that ultimately the mitzvah is on the household, that the household should have, just like we find by Chanukah, right? That even though Chanukah is a mitzvah on each person, right? But we've spoken about this in the past, but the way the Chazal constructed the mitzvah is that it became that the house, Ner Ish Ubeso, that's the technical halacha of Chanukah. So you have a very similar idea over here too, that the household should have candles. So therefore, the man is Yotze. Now, does she have to be his shliach? Does he have to be there when she makes the bracha, right? This would really cause lots of excitement if the husband had to be standing there when the wife made the bracha. So the answer is no. The common practice is no. But that's the way it is. But in fact, it's the man's mitzvah as well. There's no question about it. Okay, now, that being the case, so we say, therefore, he should try to participate. Now, I just want to, before we get to the exact topic that we had, you also have to bear in mind, you'll say, that if you have these two issues of Kavod Shabbos and Onik Shabbos, so then it's not just, so if it's the Onik Shabbos aspect that when you eat you should see the food and so forth, have more Onik, okay. So then we understand that you light the candles in the room that you're eating. But there's the other reason also that a person should not fall and trip and so forth and it'll cause problems on Shabbos itself. So the truth is, for that reason, that it could be that you have to light candles in other rooms too. In other words, it's not just in the place where you eat. Now you'll say, nobody does this. So the reason nobody does this is because, and now we have to consider the role that electric lights play in today's world as far as this mitzvah. Okay, so the big question that people have today when you light the Shabbos candles, that is that it seems it's only ceremonial. It doesn't really seem like you're accomplishing. So you want to say you're doing a little covered Shabbos. Okay, in honor of Shabbos, I'm lighting candles. But it's largely ceremonial because of the fact that you have the light in the room. You don't need the Shabbos candles. You don't even notice that the Shabbos candles are on. So the fact is that this is a question which really pertains even before the advent of electricity. Because another question which you could ask is that, let's say you have a big suda that's taking place where a whole family, yontif people invite over, they have their married children come over, and everybody's lighting candles together, right? So the mother is lighting her candles, and the married daughter is lighting her candles, and the daughter-in-law is lighting her candles. So the question is, what is the purpose of those candles? Once you have candles that were lit already by the mother, so you already have the honor of the enhancement of having light in the room that you're going to eat. So what do you accomplish by other people lighting the candles? So the fact is that this is discussed in the poskim, whether or not, if you have already candles, you should have more candles, right? This is discussed in Shulchan Aruch, not on the sheet. But we hold like the Ramah, who says that the more candles you have, the better it is. The more candles you have, the better it is, because there is we say this in other areas of Hilchos Shabbos also, that the more light you have, the nicer it is. So therefore, really, the idea of having the extra light, even though you say, well, I don't notice it so much, okay, but it is contributing It is contributing to the room. Okay, now, however, it is also a reality that the dominating light in the room is from the overhead electric light. Okay, so now, we discussed last year, we had a whole discussion about whether electric lights can count for the mitzvah of Hadlakas Ner Shabbos, there are different opinions, but let's just say for a minute that they can, right? So you'll say, which is what a lot of people hold, that they could fulfill, even though many poskim say, could even say a bracha, if necessary, a woman in the hospital can say a bracha on electric the Shabbos candles. Not everyone agrees, but a lot of people say that. So the question is, you have the overhead lights, so you know, that is what's contributing the light for Shabbos. You'll say, all right, but I put the lights on for Shabbos. But the question is that really true? In other words, you put the light on in the room to set the table doesn't mean that you put the light on for Shabbos, and it could be that that light was on in advance. And in order, you know, it may have been on the whole day in that room. And in order for it to be considered a covet of Shabbos, it has to be that you lit this light for Shabbos. If the light happened to be on anyway, for whatever reason, even in the old days, if you had, you know, a room that had candles burning from the daytime, they didn't have windows, so they had candles burning all day long. Okay, you say, well, these candles are very, you know, long-burning candles, so they'll make it on Shabbos too. That's not good enough, because the candles have to be lit in a way that it's noticeable that they are for Shabbos. Okay, so therefore, a practice which many of the poskim say, which people don't necessarily, aren't so careful about, is kedai, it's worthwhile to do this, is that the best thing would be that when before a woman lights candles, she should shut the lights in the room. And then she should light the candles and turn the light back on, or vice versa. You could put the light on first. But that way, you're having in mind that these electric lights are also for Shabbos. These are also for Shabbos. And in that way, you have the full benefit. Now, all the light in the room was put on for Shabbos. In other words, without that, so what did you do in honor of Shabbos? Or what did you do for the enjoyment of Shabbos? You made a little extra enjoyment, but it's not such a big deal. It doesn't really make such a difference, right? However, if you do this trick, so then it's very simple. Obviously, you can't turn the lights on Shabbos. But you put the lights on when she's lighting the candles. Either before she lights, some people say, let her light the candles first. And before she says the bracha, she should turn on the lights. Right? Or you could even do it before. You could shut off the lights, turn them back on, and then light the candles. But you have in mind, and by doing that, it's an easy thing to do. And you make it that, therefore, all the light in the room is for Shabbos. Now that being the case, it should also be understood that this applies to other rooms too. In other words, really, if you want to be medactic, if you want to do, you know, the letter of the law in the finest way, I mean, mehadar in this mitzvah, the thing would be to go to all the rooms and shut the lights and turn them back on and say, and have in mind, I'm doing this for Shabbos, because if you sit in your living room on Shabbos and you say, I'm not eating here, right, but you have the lights on, there's an inyan that you should have lights on in your living room too, because if you didn't have lights, you could trip and fall and it would disturb your enjoyment of Shabbos. So therefore, you should also have the lights on in that room. And sometimes, you know, even a bedroom people have nowadays, these Shabbos lights, all these different gadgets. So good, you put that on for Shabbos. Sometimes, you know, 9 o'clock in the morning, you're making the bed, the woman is making the beds for Shabbos, so she's making the beds, so she turns on the Shabbos lamp also. But I'm not saying you have to do this, but if a person, you know, wanted really to be mahadir in this mitzvah, that would really be the right thing to do, because the mitzvah of lighting candles isn't only in the place where you eat. It's primarily in the place that you eat. But it's also not in the place that you eat. And the proof of this is because the fact is, what the common case, what happens if you're invited out to a Shabbos meal? You're invited out Friday night to the meal. So you have two choices. You could light the candles in your house, or you could light the candles there. You have to bear in mind, if the main reason we do it is because it's together with the eating, so you're not going to be eating in your house Friday night. The fact that you're eating there the Shabbos day is inconsequential, right? It has to be you're eating there Friday night. So the question is, where do you light the candles? So now, the absolute truth is, I'll tell you a little secret, the absolute truth is that technically it could be that you don't have to light candles at all. Because of the fact that if you're eating in someone's house and you're samuch al shulchano, you're dependent on their food, so then you could be yotze really with their lighting the candles, right? Which is the case by a single person. A single person has a chiyuv hadlakas neir Shabbos also. It has nothing to do with being married. Right, like we saw in the Shulchan Aruch, it's men and women. It doesn't say only married people. Even if a person is not married, you have to light the Shabbos candles, right? And that's a fact that a person who's a single living alone has to light Shabbos with a bracha. Even a man has to say with a bracha. But the fact is, but let's say you're eating out. So if you're eating out, it's considered, you know, really like you're dependent on them, so even though you're sleeping at home. However, the minhag is not that way. The minhag is that women, married women, like to light candles, and therefore they have taken upon themselves, they light candles even in that situation. Now the question is, where should you light the candles? So some people could make the case that you should light the candles better where you're eating. And some people make the case you should light the candles better where you're sleeping. There's a difference of opinion. Okay, you can make the case either way, but the reality is, now here is the trick. The trick is that if you're lighting it where you're sleeping, as you light in your house, and then you're going to go out to eat Friday night, so you have one challenge. The challenge is that if by the time you get back, the candles are out, so then you didn't accomplish anything by lighting those candles, and the bracha that you set on is a bracha of atola. Because what you accomplish? You lit candles and you ran out. You lit the candles, you ran out of the house. So what was done? So to solve that problem, there are three options. You could either light the candles in the place where you eat, but of course that's only going to work if you get there before Shabbos. Okay, that's one choice. The second choice would be to get very long candles that you know will, you know, okay, it'll still be on when I come back. Or the third choice, which may be the easiest, is after you light, don't run out the second you light the candles. No, stick around. Stay there for a little bit and do something by the candlelight, even though you're not eating there, but you should do something by the candlelight, do some activity near the light of the candle so that you have benefited from the candlelight. But if not that, then you have a real question that maybe the lighting of the candles is a bracha of atola. Right, no, so as long as somebody in the house, it has to be somebody in the house. Somebody in the house has to be getting benefit from it. It doesn't have to be the man, it doesn't have to be either of the parents, even if they're the kids. But somebody, some accomplishment has to come from these candles. If there's no accomplishment, so then what do you do? So that's a halacha. So people have to keep this in mind. It happens often that, you know, you get invited to someone's house and you light the candles, and then you thought it wasn't going to go so long, and you got into a whole conversation, whatever it is. Other people came over, and by the time you got home, all the candles are out. So it's not such a simple thing. Not such a simple thing to do that. Yeah, yes. Okay, so or you could do with electric lights, but the common minhag is that we don't say the bracha on electric lights unless it's a shasat chak. In other words, if you're going to say a bracha, you're saying the bracha on the candle. It's true. I hear what you're saying. It's true, but the electric lights, because there is some degree of controversy, and we spoke in the past of different types of electricity. What different types of lights that is, whether it's incandescent or fluorescent light, even though some argue that when it comes to Shabbos it shouldn't matter because there's no inyan of Eish. In other words, just the question should be light. What's the difference how you got the light? You know, in other words, when it comes to Havdalah, so Havdalah you need Eish. So a fluorescent light is not Eish, only an incandescent light is. But when it comes to the Friday night candles, there's no din of Eish, there's just a din of light. So if it's just a din of light, so then anyway you got the light. So, yeah, yes. Yeah, but you don't need to do. Yeah, that's true too. But you don't need to do that. If you're eating in someone's house, you don't need to give them, because you're samach al shulchanim. You're dependent. Yeah, you don't have to. You don't really have to do that. Right. Yeah. Yes.
As a practical matter, yes. Is it correct that you should not leave light candles unattended?
Okay, that's something else. Right. Okay, you may not be comfortable. Okay, so if you that okay, that's that that could be okay. If you don't want to leave unattended candles, that's a chashash. Of a fire, okay. So then you have to, but then light candles where you eat, okay.
That's right.
Okay, fine. Yeah, that's true. Now I just wanted to say, now again, maybe we should discuss this in advance of Yontif, but Sukkot. So you have this question. Really, according to the halacha, you're supposed to light candles in the sukkah. But a lot of people are not comfortable doing that because they're very worried that, you know, sukkahs, even if the sukkah itself is not, the sukkah could be flimsy, the table is flimsy, a lot of potentially little kids running around, they'll knock it over, Rachman al Sonic have a fire. So people, what's that? The candles will blow out, there are all kinds of issues. So therefore people, a lot of people light the candles in their house. But here, there's a little bit of a challenge because of the fact that now you're not lighting the candles while you're eating. So you'll say, all right, but so for this, I'll rely on the fact that you need light in the house even aside from eating. In other words, even though our minhag is that we say the bracha in the place that we eat, but really you need candles in the other rooms too. You need some sort of light in the other rooms. It's extra important in the place that you eat. But okay, so on that, otherwise you wouldn't be allowed to light the candles in your house on sukkahs. So you're not eating there. So what are you lighting the candles in your house? So the Teretz is, so we rely on this. But now you have to be careful because if you have a long meal in your sukkah and you come in, the lights are out. Or even if you don't have a long meal in your sukkah, but you put the candles in the corner, and what benefit are you really getting from it? You know what I'm saying? So, all right, you'll say, well, we just said before that everything adds, but if, let's say you don't do anything in that room. Let's say, you know, sukkahs, you really, you know, from when it comes to sukkah, you do everything in the sukkah. So you come into the house just as a you know, temporary measure, so you're not really using the room either. So this is a tricky thing. So, okay, so there are a lot of people light in the house. You have to try to get some benefit. Okay, so that's as far as that goes. Now, what I'd like to discuss further is another difference that exists between men and women. We just said that men have a chiv to light the candles, but it was given to women. The Shulchan Aruch here in Sif Yud, this is a very important halacha. If you turn over the page to side two, so the Shulchan Aruch discusses when is it considered that a person has accepted Shabbos? When is it considered? Right? We know there's a mitzvah, a Kabbalah Shabbos. We say in shul every Friday night, Kabbalah Shabbos. The irony of that is that in almost every shul, Kabbalah Shabbos is said on Shabbos. Right? The practice of Kabbalah Shabbos, which started in the times of the Mikubalim and Tzfas in the 16th century, the Arizal and other people, that they, based on a Gemara, that they would go out into the fields and watch the sun as it was setting and welcome in the Shabbos. That's very nice if you say it in advance. But you don't say it in advance. In all the shuls, you're lucky if you finish mincha before the shkia, right? It comes in, it's already 10 minutes, they sing l'chadodi, right? By the time you get up to the Mizmar Shir L'Yom HaShabbos, which is the acceptance of Shabbos, so it's already well after the Zman. Okay, but now that's only for the man who's in shul. But what about the woman who lights candles? So there's a very big question if whether lighting the candles constitutes an act of Kabbalah Shabbos, because after all, you say the bracha shekitshanu mitzvosav tzivanu lahadlik ner shel Shabbos. So that sounds like you're saying, okay, I'm lighting the Shabbos candles, right? So this is a very big question. So the Shulchan Aruch here brings the following opinions. And Sif Yud, I'll try to make it quick. He brings Baal Halachos Gedolos, right? There's a sefer written by one of the great Rishonim that is a very authoritative sefer called Halachos Gedolos. Okay, the great Halachos. So he writes there that when a person lights the Shabbos candle, so then already it's Shabbos. As soon as they light the candle, it's Shabbos. Okay, and immediately the person who lights the candle has accepted Shabbos. Once the candle is lit, you have accepted Shabbos. You'll say, well, what if you light more than one candle, which is the common practice? So he means, when you finish lighting the candles, you have accepted Shabbos. Okay? Now, according to that opinion, it's Shabbos right away. It's Shabbos right away. Now, a modification of this opinion is what a lot of people do today, is that because we'll soon see that we essentially hold this to be the halacha to a large degree. And the only thing is, the question then becomes, when do you say the bracha? Because if you wait till after, do you say the bracha after you lit the candles? If it's already Shabbos, so then you already did. There's a different problem that you already did the mitzvah. So if you did the mitzvah, well, you're supposed to say the bracha before you do the mitzvah. On the other hand, there are those who say that once you say the bracha, you accept the Shabbos even before you lit the candles. So therefore, the common practice that women have is that they light the candles first, And then they sort of cover their face, which is a way of showing that they're not benefiting from the candles. Why are they doing this? These maneuvers with their hands, right? What's the point of that? The point of that is not a Kabbalistic thing. It's a practical thing. That by doing that, you're not benefiting from the candles. So therefore, it's still considered overlasiyosan. It's still considered that you're lighting the candles in advance. So therefore, the common practice is that women light the candles and first, and then say the bracha. But according that common practice reflects the idea that the woman is accepting Shabbos as soon as she does that. As soon as she does that, she's accepting Shabbos. So he says, Al pizeh nogos ksas noshim. Okay, wait, we'll skip a little bit. That's one opinion. Then he says, V'yesh omrim, there are those who say, She'im masne kodem shemadlika, she'enem akabela Shabbos, ad she'omer achazen barchu moel. There are those who say that even though, in and of itself, that would constitute an acceptance of Shabbos, saying the bracha, lighting the candle, saying the bracha, but a woman has the ability to delay it. In other words, let's say a woman still needs to do certain things for Shabbos, and you don't want to run it down to the wire, because then you run into the problem, you may light the candles when it's too late. So therefore, what she could do is, she could light the candles and say, before she lights the candles, that I am not accepting Shabbos. Right, they really should say it out, so you could think it also, but it's better if you say it out. Okay, that's the second opinion. And then he says, V'yesh cholkum abalachs gedolos is the opinion of the Ramban, and others who disagree altogether, and they say that it's not acceptance of Shabbos until the chazan in shul says, Nizmer Shiliyama Shabbos. That's when Shabbos begins, regardless of when you lit the candles. Okay, so what do we do? So the Ramah here made what seems to be a compromise. So the Ramah here says, V'haminhag, the last two lines here, he says, V'haminhag, she'osa isha hamadlekes mekabela Shabbos b'hadlakasa, that the woman who lights the Shabbos candles, she accepts Shabbos with the lighting of the candles. Imlo she'tisne t'chil, unless she stipulates that she's not, which is the second opinion. V'afil t'nai b'leiv sagi, even if she did it in her heart, that would be good enough. And then he says, and it's not on the sheet, Abel Shar b'nei habayis mutarn b'malacha ad barchu. But everyone else in the house can continue doing malacha. Okay, so this is the answer to the oddity that you have, that here the woman lights candles and the husband is getting in the car and driving to shul. So you say, what's going on? Are you accepting Shabbos? You're not accepting Shabbos. If you're accepting Shabbos, why is he going in the car? So the truth of the matter is that the reason why that is because of a compromise between the opinions. In other words, because we hold, like the halachas gedolos, only as far as the woman herself. The woman herself, the woman herself who lights the candles, the woman who lights the candles accepts Shabbos. But nobody else does. So therefore now it's commonly held that the girls in the house also accept with the mother. That's a minhag. There's not really a basis for that in halacha. And there's really, everyone in the house can continue doing halacha even after the woman lit candles. And the reality is that if things still need to be done, that's the right thing to do. The best thing would be that when you light candles, it's Shabbos for everybody. That would be the nicest thing. But that's often not practical, especially come to the shorter days of the year coming up. So the thing to do in that situation would be to say that, let the mother light the candles and everyone else continue doing the work. Some people have the practice that the daughters don't do it. Okay, so that's if you have that practice, that's okay. But technically, it doesn't have to be, and the men certainly not. And that's why a man could drive to shul. Now, however, this minhag, the Ramah says, and you notice here, it's a minhag, right? This is the practice, because there's a difference of opinion, okay? Now, this minhag only applies to women. It does not apply to a man. The men did not accept this minhag upon themselves. So even a man who lights candles does not really accept Shabbos when he lights the candles, even though he says the bracha l'adoch ner shel Shabbos, he's not accepting Shabbos. Really, the thing to do is that before he lights the candles, he should say it out, that I'm not accepting Shabbos. In other words, let's say his wife, for whatever reason, his wife just had a baby, he's in the hospital for Shabbos. So he has to light candles in the house. His wife is away, has to light candles in the house, hey, with a bracha. So he's going to say the bracha, but then he wants to drive to shul. So he should say that, that's commonly done, and because men never really accepted this minhag, but women did. So now the question is, but what happens if a woman needs to do something after that? So the Ramah said that it's okay if she stipulates before she lights the candles, I am not accepting Shabbos with this lighting of the candles. Okay? Fine. So you'll say, no big deal. comes along the Mishnah Berurah here in the bottom of the page, and the Mishnah Berurah says the very last lines on the, in the Mishnah Berurah. He says the ein lahasnos ki im litzorech, says the Mishnah Berurah, that this trick that the woman stipulates that she's not accepting Shabbos should not be done unless there is a tzorech me'acha she'esh chokin, because since this is not the only opinion, there are those who argue and say the lo mahani tonight. There are people who say that that it doesn't help to do this. So therefore, it should only be done with tzorech. Okay, now the question becomes, what is a tzorech in this area? Okay, so clearly, you know, the common thing, a woman, let's say, is going to the mikveh on Friday night, so let's say she doesn't live within walking distance. If she does live within walking distance, the best, and it's safe to walk, the best thing would be to light the candles and walk to the mikveh. But let's say that's not the case for whatever reason. So a woman wants a ride. So good. So she'll say, I'm not accepting Shabbos, and her husband will drive her, or whatever, someone will drive her, drop her off. Fine. Okay, that's clearly Litzorah. Okay, if something still needed to be done for Shabbos, and it was essential, that would also be a Tzorah. The question is, you know, a common thing, people go to Eretz Yisrael, so everyone loves to daven by the Kol Samar every Friday night. Right? The most popular time you go, there are thousands of people, it's quite a scene. I personally find it very hard to concentrate, because there's so much going on at that time. But all right, there's no question that that is the incredible experience to be there and see what's happening. So now, let's say you have a whole family in Eretz Yisrael, and they want to go down by the coastal Friday night, but the woman has to light candles. She can't light when she comes back. It's too late. So she's going to light the candles and get in a cab. Right? You'll get a cab. Hopefully, you'll still be some cab drivers. You have to be careful with that. That it shouldn't be an Israeli machshelim that'll drive on Shabbos. But you know, even if he drops you off for a minute before the Zman, but he's not staying there for Shabbos. Not so. So you have to take those things into consideration also. But the fact is that the question presents itself: is that a tzorech? In other words, is that such a big need to go daven there? You know what I'm saying? In other words, yeah, so if you need a tzorech, so to go for a mitzvah, a real mitzvah, that there's no question. Go do some big chesed or go to a mikveh, things like that. But this is a very big question. Is that considered a tzorech? So it happens to be, I don't want to start trouble, in the Sefer Shmir Shabbos Kol Chosel, which is not a Machmir Sefer, he says that he was told by Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach that's not a good enough reason. That's not a good reason. Right? He doesn't think that's a tzorech godel. He says, well, so you daven somewhere else. You go to Kosel another time. We have to go to the Dafka Friday night. That's what he says. Not everyone agrees. Okay, I'm not trying to start trouble. There are people in the Sefer of Shmuel Kamenetsky recently published. He says there that any tzorech is good, and therefore on that basis it would be allowed. So there's what to say. A person can ask their rav. Everyone does it. Not everyone. A lot of people do it. You don't know who doesn't do it. You see, the people who are there did it. You know, you don't know how many people didn't come. But what's that?
She needs big candles, right?
Yeah. That's true. That is not so simple. And especially, I tell you, I have my own experience with this. So you go there, it's a stroll. So nobody brings big Shabbos, unless you have an apartment there and you set up there, so then it's different. But if you're staying in a hotel, or even you rented a place, so what are you bringing? Tea lights, right? You pack for, you have 1,000 things to pack, so you know. So the tea lights don't last very long. So you go to the Kosher Comfort and forget it. They're out. It's a brachol v'atola. Unless, when after you light the candles, you stay there for a few minutes. So you can't run it down to the wire. In other words, if you're an Eretz Yisrael and you want to do this trick, you want to rely on the lenient opinions, okay? So you're going to go to the Kosher, the whole family's going to go to the Kosher Friday night. But you got to light the candles well in advance and sit there. In other words, it is Shabbos, because you accept. Oh, you say because it's not Shabbos yet. You accept. Okay, right. That's true. So I don't know. She stipulated it's not Shabbos. Right. So you didn't accomplish anything. I'm sorry. So Tussi, you're right. I don't know what the solution is. I think the solution is get longer candles. I don't know. You could ask the rabbi this question, but I will start a new chumrah that if you go to Eretz Yisrael and you want to do this trick, bring yardside glasses. Bring light yardside glasses. They won't burn out, right? So bring yardside glasses and light them in the thing. They're safe. But if not, yeah, I'm not trying to start trouble. It may seem that way, but I myself had this dilemma because it happened to me. It happened to me that we lit candles and I was, you stay there and it's geschmack and you daven and then you schmooze with people and whatever and you stay to watch a little bit afterwards and then you walk back, et cetera, and by the time you get back, the candles are out. So that's a, what's that?
Better not to light
So it could, well, so then you get into trouble. Is it better not to light? Because a woman has a chiyuv to light candles, right? We say if a woman missed the time, so it could be you could do the trick with the electric lights. I don't know. It's not such a simple thing. I'm just pointing, this is not common knowledge. People don't think about this. They just don't think, no, nobody thinks about it because whatever, you know, you light candles. You're not used to the, you're not tuned into the question. This is a real question. Now, what do you accomplish? Yeah, yes. Yes, yes. Yes. Yeah. Okay.
Women want to come to
Kosher. Yes.
So they light the candle.
Yes.
They have a makshava that they're not accepting
Shabbat. Okay. Okay, thank you. But I'm going to end on this point over the time. I just want to end on this point, but there's a problem with that also. Okay, that's correct, that it does come up on Yom Kippur, right? The Yom Kippur, you light the Yom Kippur candles and you drive to shul for Kol Nidre. Okay, and that is one problem. The problem is that this trick that you have in mind, that you're not accepting Shabbos, only works with the bracha l'hadlik neshel Shabbos. But it does not work, it's clearly stated in the Gemara, it does not work with the bracha of Shechianu. The bracha of Shechianu, when you say the bracha of Shechianu, it's yontif. Okay, so, that being the case, so on a regular yontif, it doesn't bother anybody, because unless a woman's going to the mikvah, but basically you're home, so it doesn't bother her, right? But Yom Kippur, everybody goes to shul, right? A lot of people, let's say you don't have young children, they're going to shul, right? So the woman wants a ride. So I think you could check this out. But I personally think, you should be aware, it's not so simple you should even say the Baruch Shachyan when you light candles. It's discussed in the poskim. There are poskim that say it's not found anywhere in the Gemara that when you light candles you say the Baruch Shachyan. But it's a widely accepted practice, so everyone does it. But what I told my own wife, you can check this out, is that she should not say the Shachyan. She came here to Daven Yom Kol Nidre, and I told her she should not say the Baruch Shachyan. She should say the regular bracha, have in mind that she's not accepting Yom Kippur. Get in the car, and when the Chazan says the bracha Shechayanu after Kol Nidre, she should say it then, or she should be yotzi with his bracha. But if you say the bracha Shechayanu, it's a very, very big problem that could constitute an acceptance, and for that a tanai would not help. So you could check it out. I'm not saying that these are sensitive things. You could ask the Rav of Yeshul, ask them what they say, but I'm just telling you these are, yeah. I'm just over time. You quickly.
She defers her acceptance. Does she have to later verbalize her acceptance?
Well, no, then it's like everyone else. So then when you daven, you automatically accept it. Yes. A husband is out of town, so okay, thank you. That was a topic of share. In 30 seconds, if the husband is out of town, so it's like this. If his wife is lighting in the house, he really doesn't need to do anything. Except that if you're staying in a hotel room and you're going to leave lights on so you shouldn't trip, that you should do that, what we said before. You should, before Shabbos, have in mind that you're putting on this light in honor of Shabbos. But it doesn't constitute. Even if his wife's lying. Even if it's a different time zone. Yeah. Even if it's, as far as I know, even if it's a different time zone. Okay. But Lamaisa, if the wife is not home, then the husband has to light. But if you're out of town and staying in someone's house, you don't have to light because if you're eating in their house, then you're considered part of their household, so you don't have to do anything, you don't have to chip in either. Okay. If that's not the case, if you're staying in a hotel and not eating in someone's house, then and your wife is not home or a person's not married, then he does have to light candles. He does have to light candles with a bracha. Yeshakar.